to you by Barfoot & Thompson.
On the show today, we're chatting with Sarah Wood, the CEO of realestate.co.nz. Welcome to Property Matters. Welcome along to another Monday, and we're starting to gear up for that fabulous Easter weekend approaching us. Although, I don't know about you, Sarah, I find these short weeks, while it's so good to have a long weekend, man, you are motoring, especially the sort of the week after.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah, it's so nice to have the break, but it's busy. But anyway, we digress. It's lovely to have you back in the studio.
Thank you very much for having me.
Time goes by so fast. It's been, you know, nearly a year since we caught up.
Really?
It's just crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy.
So remind our listeners, if they didn't catch you last time you were on the show, tell us a little bit about your role at realestate.co.nz.
Right, so I'm the chief executive of realestate.co.nz, and have actually been in the business for just over 5 years. And so I'm, you know, running that business, but also, you know, my key focus is really setting the strategy and making sure that as a business we're doing the right things for consumers and buyers and vendors, as well as for our very large agent community as well.
If people don't know, we should say real estate. What is realestate.co.nz?
So realestate.co.nz is a property search portal, and I'd say that, you know, we really specialise in this sort of the search element of it. While we have lots of information and data on our site, it is really, you know, those that are looking to search, they're serious in their search and interest of property.
Brilliant. Were you always interested in property and real estate?
I have always been. My father was a property valuer, and then he was a property financier. So it was what was talked about around our dinner table. And even now, still the same. Dad just can't help himself. He gets on the phone and talks to me about property all the time. So it was definitely in my blood.
Brilliant. Is he based here in New Zealand?
He is based here.
Yeah, okay. So He's talking the Kiwi market, all right. What was your career journey before this company?
So I've worked in a range of different companies, but I've come through a marketing background, which is, you can sort of see in my love of the site and of product and of creating things. So I've come through marketing and then broadened into operations, and I've run different digital businesses, so an e-commerce business. But have loved that sort of balance between technology and marketing, making something that someone finds really useful.
Mm. So what made you, I guess, switch to realestate.co.nz from your previous career?
It was just an opportunity, really. And for me, it was that perfect kind of crossover of something I was genuinely interested in. And I do love sites. I love that being in a marketplace situation where you're connecting buyers and sellers and you're doing something that's valuable.
Mm.
So that's sort of how I came to this.
When you look back then on your five-year journey, what's been some of the biggest changes that you've seen?
It's interesting. It's really interesting. There's been a lot of a lot more data that's available to consumers and to vendors and to buyers, and I think that's been a big difference. That's been a big sort of shift in the market. The data was always there, but it's really around how do you surface that and how do you make it useful, and I think that's been a big shift. I think that ultimately when you're searching for a property, you know, there is a consistency to how that works, and we've added lots of different features and things to the site, but you know, people still search in the same sort of way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, okay. So what are your thoughts on the current state of the market as of today? What are you seeing out there?
So we're seeing just lots of listings, and you know, in 2008, you know, we had, it's probably the closest when we go back in terms of number of listings.
Oh, really?
So at the moment we've got
that 40, far back.
Yeah, we've got 41,000 homes for sale. And just to put this in context, in August 2021 as a data point, you know, we had just over 12,000 homes for sale. So we're seeing this massive uplift. And you look at February and there was the numbers were, you know, over 40%. Admittedly, you're comparing that to the prior year where there were floods, et cetera, but even still, it's just a massive availability of stock, which gives buyers lots of options and certainly keeps the agents very busy.
Do you have sort of data around how fast that stock turns?
Yeah, we do track it, and you know, it's an interesting one. The market does change on a dime sometimes as well, so there is a lot of stock. I think it's going to be really interesting to see how that sells through over the next sort of three to six months, and also there's a lot of legislation change as well that's happening, so it's very, very hard to predict, but it will be interesting to watch it.
How much do the seasons play a part too?
Huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, huge.
So we're heading into a quieter little patch?
Yeah, and I think, you know, you do get people that go for spring and for summer, and then there is a steady tick over during those, you know, across through the sort of winter season as well. But yeah, it, you know, certainly the summer gets people out and about.
Okay. So what trends are emerging?
So we're seeing certainly a lot of, there's still a lot of activity. So we were looking this morning, actually, and we've got, you know, our traffic's up 11% year on year. We've got inquiries, people inquiring. So there is activity happening in the market. And it's just, it's buyers and consumers starting to look at what their options are. So a lot of interest in, you know, data points around what's happening in that suburb, what's happening, you know, what's been selling recently, so that we're seeing a lot of interest in the data side of it, but also that activity of people going through open homes and starting to look at, you know, look at what their options are. But again, it can be it can depend on what part of the country you're in as well, in terms of what that activity looks like.
Before we went on air, we were talking about your data sort of looking back over the last decade.
Yes.
What trends did we see there, or what, I guess, are the surprise points for today?
So, you know, this was a fascinating one. So we looked at data from 2014 to 2023. So it gives us a full 10 years. And, you know, when we looked at the data, it was more of a regional story than it was a metro story.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the shift in what's happened across our country in the last, you know, 5 years, I suppose, you can see that move, that increase in flexibility, people looking to move to outside of the metros, so out of Auckland, Wellington and Christchurch, and starting to move into those regional markets. And that's really interesting. I can just talk from our business alone. You know, 3 years ago, all our developers were based in Auckland, in our head office. Now, that is not the case now. They are in, we've got some in Whanganui, we've got some in Christchurch, we've got some in the Bay of Plenty. They're all over the place. So you can see that shift. And some of those people were in Auckland, even just in our company, and they've moved to those regional places.
Did COVID play a little hand in that, though? Yes. And there's sort of that trust that we now realise that people can work from home, so therefore you may choose that your home isn't where the work was in Auckland.
Correct, yeah. And I think that has definitely, that has been a shift. We had our team actually working remote, our development team remote first, just before COVID hit, but we've certainly seen that trend, and now it's part of the way that we work. So when you look at, you know, those sort of average asking price shifts, you know, Auckland went up 51%, but just to put that in context, Bay of Plenty went up 110%.
Wow.
So average asking price was up 110% in that area. You know, Canterbury was 57%. So again, going back to that metro story, the most positive market was actually Wellington, that was up 80%, just over 80%. But there are some big shifts. You know, Hawke's Bay up 121%. The standout region was actually Kawerau in Bay of Plenty, and that was up 260%.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
You wonder what triggered that.
Well, a small base.
Yeah.
So very affordable.
Yeah.
Moving from 120,000 average asking price to 443. So I'd say Caldwell is still actually a really affordable place to live. But massive increases. And the other one that, you know, gets talked about a lot is obviously Central Otago Lakes. So that's up 106% on the 10-year data story. But most interestingly is Wanaka, you know, up 135%.
Mm.
So, I mean, you just go down and spend time in any of those areas. I mean, New Zealand's a beautiful country on a good day.
Yeah.
But there are some exceptional pockets. Hawke's Bay, Bay of Plenty. And you see that in the numbers, Otago.
Have you noticed since all the floods in the sort of the Hawke's Bay, Gisborne East Coast region last year, have we seen any dips in those areas?
Yeah, it's interesting. I was looking at the Hawke's Bay Last week, I was down there talking to agents down there and agencies down there, and there was a dip, but it's actually their average asking price has actually recovered and is back into growth. So that switch has happened over. So yes, they were affected, but actually they have recovered and they're above where they were.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
because there's still a lot of insurance claims still being processed. Yeah, I was chatting with an insurance company today, an underwriter, and said the mood has gone from people that used to ring angry and annoyed that things weren't sorted to actually now almost depressed with it. Like, it's actually having quite an impact. So it'll be interesting to see where that takes it. Any other trends that you loved?
I thought that, Gisborne was another place that's as an average asking price. Again, quite, it's affordable. It's gone from $308,000 to $678,000. So 120% increase over the 10-year period. Mm. So I think that was a really interesting one to look at. I think Waikato has shown some really strong growth as well. And I think, the development that's been put in place around connecting Hamilton Expressway and Auckland, those sort of investments where you can start to see will pay off over time as well. Because you can feasibly work in Hamilton and commute up to Auckland if you need to be up here 1 or 2 days a week. It actually becomes a realistic option when the traffic is workable.
And the work from home scenario is in the mix.
Totally.
Yeah, totally. Have you always lived in Auckland yourself?
I'm actually from the Waikato. I'm from just outside of Cambridge.
Right. Would you think of making that move back?
Oh, that's a good question.
Family interviewing now.
Probably not, but I love it as a place to visit.
Yeah.
And I grew up, right up next to some hills that run along the connecting Hamilton to Cambridge. And it reminds me sometimes of central Otago. But no, it's beautiful. But the frosts were pretty
brutal. Look, realestate.co.nz, they've been helping Kiwis searching for property for so long now. How has the way we look for a property changed since the platform was established?
Oh, I think the big thing would be actually about mobile. Because it started as a website and mobile is just another form of that. But it is about, having a mobile app that you can access and it's in your pocket. And, we are able to do so much more in terms of communicating, helping buyers on their journey by having that in their in their pocket. And actually it's really helpful for agents too. So by having the mobile app, you can take notes on a property in the mobile app. You can do, the hearts. You can schedule your open homes. You can set it up to send you notifications in-app. So, the moment a property matches your search criteria that you've saved, it can come through to you as a push notification. So, you're looking in Cambridge and it will pop up and match that property. That is an advantage for someone that wants to be on top of the property market. And, the idea that you're getting that the moment it comes to market, I think makes a big difference.
And not another email in your inbox. Is that for rentals as well as sales?
It is for rentals
notifications
as well as sales. And the other thing on the sales space is when you're tracking a property and it changes, so maybe it went to auction but it got passed in and then it has a fixed price of $700,000, you can actually get those updates as well. So, there's a lot of information that you can actually get in your fingertips that comes through that mobile app, whether you're trying to, starting that research phase, whether you're really in that 6 week to 8 week hunting phase, but it certainly allows you to be on top of your market in a really immediate way. And I think that's a big shift. We're seeing our mobile app is just, the uptake it's just growing all the time.
So with all of that in mind around how we're looking, how have you as a company had to change or keep up with it? I guess, how do you keep up with it all?
Yeah, it's interesting. I actually get a lot of inspiration from other industries. So I love looking at what other countries do or how things operate. And I remember years ago when I lived in the US, you would be in Target and you would get an offer the moment you were in the aisle in front of the item.
Oh, wow.
You know, they were so, this is a while ago now, this is sort of 10 years ago, they were so close to that, to the consumer in that transaction. So I'm always looking at, you know, how do we, what are the tools, what's happening globally in property portals, but also draw a lot of inspiration around, you know, what is it that would be useful that's being used in another industry. And then the other part for us is we talk to our users of our site all the time, so you know that creates a way for us to generate ideas. And we've actually just got a new feature that's come out last week. You know, that was actually, we did a big innovation tournament across our whole company, so the whole company contributed to ideas, and this idea actually came up in different ways several times, and then we tested it with consumers, and then we've launched it. So we try and use our own team as well as idea generators.
Can we find out what the idea was?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, I'll tell you what that idea is. So the idea is listing minimise. So when you conduct a search, let's just say Cambridge, and then it comes to the search results page and it's got all the properties in Cambridge and you've filtered it, as you're going through it, you can click on a listing and go and look into the listing, so what we call the listings listing detail page. If you decide this is actually isn't going to match for you, doesn't have the right number of bedrooms, or maybe just the look or the layout of it doesn't work for you, it's not what you're after, you've actually got there's a thumbs down button, and then that will minimise it. And then when you go back to the search results page that shows you all the listings in Cambridge that you're looking at, that listing will still be there, but it'll be minimised, and it just helps you filter your search. And so the same happens in rentals, right? When you've got so many rentals, and rentals, I feel like as a sector, your search is probably broader than when you're buying potentially.
Right.
So you know, depending on age or stage, you might have more flexibility. If you're a student, for example, you might go, I'm going to live in Epsom, Mount Eden, or Mount Albert.
Yeah.
But you know, if you're a buyer, you might be more tied to a school zone. So. So that's a really great feature. And the beauty of this feature as well is that when you minimise it, or when you do the thumbs down, it clicks up and actually asks you, you know, why are you minimising that? And that feedback actually goes back to the agents as well. So they can then work with the vendor to say, actually, it's price, or it is maybe we need to change the landing photo, or it gives more of a conversation, because sometimes you get, you know, you'll have an open home but you don't understand why people aren't, you know, why they're making that decision. So you've had, you know, 1,300 views to that property, but then on the day you've got 20 people. So what's happened in that filtering process? And I think it gives you a lot of insight that from an agent perspective you can use, but also a vendor. You know, vendor, okay, I can understand what's happening in for my property and in the market.
Can the software then determine, okay, Stephen's minimised several with similar things, so start filtering what I'm seeing in my landing page?
I'm
just adding to your innovation. Tournament? I'll put my number in.
Yeah, it's a really great idea, but no, we're not doing that at the moment. So, but look, there's options for the future. Yeah.
So, what are some of the latest innovations that you've had since we last caught up?
So we've talked a little bit about the price change history. We've done a lot more work on our market insights pages as well. So, you know, I would say that there's just a lot of data points, and it's really around how do we make those really useful for a buyer when they are in the market. So that market insights page, we've added additional data points to it, and we've also added those onto our own. Listing details page. So listing minimise is a really big deal for us. And we've done a lot more in mobile around how do we communicate and set up those preferences so that we can say, we can really help people on their journey. So price changes or price type changes, you know, those sort of notifications where you can actually get notified and drop back into that listing straight away. Again, for us, it's about being 100% on top of your market.
You mentioned earlier, you know, you've always taken inspiration from other companies, not necessarily in the real estate world and space. Is that something that all your sort of tech team have to be doing constantly as well, seeing what's happening and changing?
Yeah, I'm such a believer that great ideas come from everywhere. And so actually, it can be the tech team, but it can just be anyone in our team that goes, Ayshed, you know what, this would be really good. And often it's our territory managers that are out spending time with agents as well that go, actually, you know, this is a problem or a pain point, because we're trying to build, you know, a fantastic product, which I believe we've got, but how do we continue to refine it and make it better? And it is a balance between adding more features, because you don't want to kind of overcomplicate it. You want to keep it as easy as you can, but then, you know, what are the right features to create that right good experience, whether it's on the agent side or whether it's on the buyer or vendor side?
Yeah, and I guess too, it's about evolving but still making it feel for the customer coming on your site that, oh, I'm definitely on realestate.co.nz. It's got the same vibe and feel that it always has. Mm. So you want to be up to date but not make people constantly feel like everything's changed. Like, I like going back to something and knowing where to search for something or find something.
Yeah, and look, we've made a lot of change to the site and the mobile app over 5 years, but, you know, what you're seeing now will be set for a very long time. So, you know, there's really refinements. And, you know, things like speed are really important. So, you know, we're really focused on having, the fastest site. And that's about speed to load, those pages to load, speed to get where you need to get to. And that could be two parts. It can be physical site speed, but it's also around what is the experience that the buyer has on our site. How do we help them get them to the right list of properties to look at? How do we help them on that journey getting into the open homes? And then how do we get them to, you know, if they're buying with somebody else, like, how do we make that easy? Sharing information, sharing notes, like, how do we create a better experience? Because it's pretty stressful buying a property.
Yeah, absolutely. When Vanessa was on recently, we talked about private landlords soon being able to use your site, which was a big change from your tradition, because you've very much always been the site that you go to where everything renting, you know, in the renting space is all agents. A, where are we at with that? And B, why the move?
So we are very close to launch, so stay tuned, like very close. And what I would say is the move is really about creating the best marketplace for people to search and to transact on. So that is actually having all the listing content. And so while we have been historically, we've had licensed property managers, we've had licensed agents, that's been our focus. We have opened up to home and land developers, so that was something we did a while ago. And then the next stage of that is actually the rental market, because they want to see that they've got all the options. And so, you know, that is the next step in that piece. And we've had just amazing feedback. So it's been, you know, people are super excited for us to start on that journey, and there's so much innovation and change that we can bring to that process too. So first part is getting the private rentals on, and driving more people to use our site as a consideration set. So, yeah.
Does that make you, trying to word this carefully, but more, I guess, competitive against your number one competitor online that currently does offer that to private? Does that sort of bring you up to go, hey, we're in this race now, watch out?
Yeah, and what I think is there are a lot of options for rentals. And, you know, there is Facebook is also in the mix in terms of a rental marketplace. But look, it's, you know, we have a strong rental audience, and where we do, you know, we get some very high quality tenants, and that's the feedback we get back from people that are using our site. And we also do really well on that from the international standpoint as well. So we get people that are moving to New Zealand as well. So that's a great rental audience that are looking for long-term rentals. And we had this great example of somebody who exclusively listed their property on us, and the tenant was a dream tenant. So professor moving from the US, coming to New Zealand, wanted to sign an agreement for 5 years. Now, that is like a dream scenario for a landlord, but it's a great story of, you know, quality, and that's really the space we want to play in. You know, so.
How will this private landlord data then impact your sort of, when you're looking back at data, you're suddenly going to have this extra set of information that you've never had before?
Yeah, and I think it will help in terms of when you're looking at you know, trying to get a sense of what rentals are worth and having that extra data set, and it will give us, you're right, it will give us more. I mean, we do have, the rental market is quite large and we have a very large volume of it now, so this is just, for us, it's the final piece.
Mm. You mentioned Facebook before, which you're right, is a private advertising, but it's also become one of the biggest places for scams in the rental world. It's becoming really, really hard to, you know, decide, am I actually chatting to someone who legitimately owns this property or have copied the advert and photos from somewhere else? Where do your team sit in having to sort of fight this world now of scams and keeping yourself safe?
That's a great question. I mean, we have obviously processes and software and things in that mix. But, you know, we're quite a different marketplace to Facebook, where people are trying to, they're coming through for one reason and using it for another. And so it's actually not something we've had an issue with, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'd imagine it's more, though, scammers being able to access your, you know, simple copies and pastes and photos, you know. Are we getting to a situation that companies like yours will need to be trawling other nets to see, has anyone duplicated our adverts anywhere else?
Yeah, it's not a problem we've hit, but it's a good question in the way that the world's sort of moving.
I know. I just know in the rental space, it's happening more and more, where people think they've signed up with somebody, they've communicated with someone, they've gone along to the viewing. The viewing's legit because it's run by a legitimate agent, but then they go back to chat to the person that they started the relationship with, totally unaware. They get sent a tenancy website version of a tenancy agreement, so it looks legitimate. They pay their money, but they've created that from screen grabs are from other sites. Mm. So I wonder what part all of these sites will soon have to play in order to try and see what's been duplicated out there.
Yeah, that's a great question. And also, I guess, you know, how do you, if they're coming to an open home that's run by an agent, how do you create that sense of authentication through that process? Because I think that would be, you know, the part of the challenge, right? Because the authentication piece is a challenge across lots of different industries. You've got the same thing in healthcare, where they're, you know, you've got counterfeit drugs and things coming into not into New Zealand but into other countries, and how do you prove that what you've got is legitimate? So it is.
And the scammers are getting cleverer, you know.
Yeah,
they're sending messages to say, like, you'll get there. Now the agent doesn't know, but I'm about to let him go next week, so just do the viewing and then come back to me. You know, very clever. So, yeah, be careful, people, especially on Facebook. You know, if it sounds too good to be true and you're suddenly getting a discount, it probably is.
It probably is.
Last time you were on, we chatted about your use of AI, artificial intelligence, and a very specific robot. So where has this got to? And I've forgotten your robot's name.
Oh, Tahu.
Tahu, that's it. How's Tahu doing?
Tahu
still employed?
Tahu is still employed. He is doing very well. So yes, we have used Tahu to streamline basically the way that we process information and bookings and things coming into our business. And, you know, for us, we're a big Salesforce user. It's quite integral to our business. And we're looking at, you know, what that next piece of technology is for us. You know, we have a huge amount of data points. Like, it's incredible. So our focus is really on how do we utilize those data points, but actually bring them together in a way that's really useful for a vendor or buyer or user of the site, but also how do we make those available and helpful to an agent? And so that is something we're looking at the moment, around how do we use those you know, that enormous number of data points to actually create things that are really relevant. And that's where I think AI is really helpful. It just needs to be applied where it's solving a problem, right? So it's got to, what problem we're trying to solve, and then what is the right technology solution to do that? And that's very much how we look at it. But it's really around how do we, you know, guide those decisions, and how do we help the solution, be part of the solution.
And because so much of AI learns as it works, doesn't it?
Yes,
so
it
are
does.
Your team having to watch and learn just as much as Tahu is?
Great question. Well, the beauty about Tahu is it just happens automatically.
Yeah.
The learning happens automatically. But yes, we're always looking at different options. The other place we used AI was in detecting floor plans that were coming through as photographs and pulling them out separately. So we've got a few things on the go. Next time I come in, I'll talk more about it.
Brilliant. So we're talking a lot about technology in this world of everything moving so fast, how do you as a CEO sort of keep your company up to date?
So there's,
that must be mammoth.
It is mammoth, and it actually involves a lot of reading and also getting, you know, again, it's just sort of getting ideas from different places and actually talking to lots of different, whether it's CEOs or tech leaders, and looking at what those options are. So we are, the team are always like, what about this? What about this? Always coming up with a range of different things. And the challenge for us is actually there's so many things we could do. What should we do that's going to make a difference? And then, you know, the key test for me is around, is this going to help a buyer make a, you know, a buyer in their decision process? Is it going to make the search easier? And then on the other side, is this going to help an agent? Like, how do we make sure we're truly useful to both of those consumer sets? And so, yeah, there is a lot of reading, a lot of watching what's happening, and also a lot of testing, right? You've got to sort of test and learn. And we might have, you know, four ideas that we want to take to market or build something. And, you know, we go back and we really talk about it with our customer base and make sure it's the right decision. So if you're looking to, if you're a buyer, we want to make sure we're utterly useful in that sort of intersection of looking.
Interesting you mentioned the agent there, because I must admit, when I was preparing the questions for today, I was very focused on the sort of the buyer or the renter, the consumer. But yeah, your site is so important for agents, not just from a marketing perspective, but how else do you find agents interacting with you? Is it to grab the data?
Yeah, so they'll come on and they'll use things like the market insights tools, but they also set up things like instant notification. So going back to that, you know, you set up Cambridge, you set up your criteria, I want to see properties between, you know, 600 and 700,000, that's a three bedroom in Cambridge. And, you know, they can set them to an area and they get that notification through. So it helps them. They're absolutely on top of the game. If they're going two streets over into a listing presentation, they know what's current. They're like, yeah, I can have this, you know, you can say, I actually know that this property that's very similar to yours has just come on the market, you know, half an hour ago. And it gives them that that additional information. And I think that, you know, when you look at Listing Minimize, that's going to be another fantastic tool. We've been live for 1 week, and agents are now getting the feedback as to, you know, what's actually happening dynamically on site. So that makes a really big difference. We do, while we create things for our agent community, we also are very, very focused on the buyers, the users, the vendors on our site, because ultimately, if we do a really great job with that, then the agents will have the people through the open home. So that's where we kind of, how we balance the two.
Is there anything you miss from the old days, as it was, when it comes to the marketing space?
Great question. When I was in marketing, I loved design. And so it was sort of the idea that you could spend a lot of time creating and making things.
Right.
And I think that, you know, while we do that in our site, in our business with marketing, and we do it with the site, you know, it takes longer to build things in a digital, when you're building a digital site, and you can't easily change your mind.
Yeah.
So I really loved that part of it. I loved the ideas and that sort of, you could take something and grow it and make it bigger, which, you know, I do in my job now, but I was much more, I was just closer to the actual work. And I love that. So I have to, you know, you've obviously had Vanessa on the show. I have to really, I love working alongside her, but, you know, I have to make sure I'm not trying to be the marketer either. Because everyone's got a view on marketing.
Yeah, absolutely. I still love the, you know, the physical person to show you through the property. I was talking to someone on the weekend about one, and they said, oh, just watch the video. There's a video on the site. It's like, No. I'm coming. You need to show me through. You know, we can't replace that. We should use these tools to narrow down our search so we're not spending time driving in Auckland traffic to 10 when actually only 5 are suitable. I love that. But I still want the personal touch. Should never replace that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, real estate is a, you know, if we say it's a contact sport, it is the relationship. It is that that person-to-person connection. And, you know, I think that there's a lot to be said. You know, you've got a video which will give you an idea, but you don't get a feeling for the house without physically being in it. And it's also where it's situated. Like, you get there and you're like, actually, wow. I mean, look at what the property that we bought. It was the oak tree that sold us.
Yeah.
You know, we got to the property and we're like, oh, man, I love the oak tree. It had a big swing on it for the kids. And it was actually, we could see ourselves sitting out underneath that oak tree. And that was the selling point. Now, a video is not going to get you that.
Well, a video, the opposite, can show you all the good bits and you don't realise the motorway's out the back door. those bits as well. We've seen a change in the way that Kiwis consume media. Have you seen the way Kiwis search for properties change, like the physical way they're searching and what they're asking for?
I mean, there'll be small changes. It's probably more in information.
Right.
So there is so...
More at our fingertips now.
It's more at our fingertips. Yeah, yeah. You know, and, you know, one scenario that somebody said to me a couple of days ago is, you know, years ago, you'd go into Noel Lambings or whatever your store was to buy a TV, and the salesperson would be the one that was the expert to tell you all about it. But now you've got online reviews, you've got you know, YouTube reviews, you've got all this information, and I think that property is similar. There is so much information that you can get access to now. Consumers just are more informed, and they want to know more. They want to be educated, and I think that is a really important part for portals like ours to play, as well as really, you know, getting them actually to the open home so that they can see the oak tree or whatever it might be.
Yeah, absolutely. When it comes to writing an advert, what are your top tips, especially now you're looking at private landlords being able to place adverts as well? What are the top tips for writing a good ad?
So I think it's really about showing yourself and your brand through what you're writing, if that makes sense. So if you were a landlord, part of it's positioning the property, but part of it is also actually talking about, you know, what you as a landlord are bringing, or what the property will deliver, you know, what experience the property will deliver or supply. And so for me, it's really around, you know, having that sense of positioning and doing a really good job explaining. But also there's lots of amazing tools out there now, particularly for agents, to help them in that, really finessing the copy. So take your time, you know, pull out those key things that are selling points for the property and really, really focus on those. I will say the importance of making sure that things are grammatically correct and well-structured is really important as well, because again, that says something too.
And look at your advert once you post it and make sure it does all match up with what you thought. Yeah.
And the order of the photos.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like a walkthrough. Is that what you'd suggest? You know, coming up to that front door, then walking into the lounge, the living room, kitchen, then the bedrooms.
Yeah.
I don't really need to tour the bathroom and the bedrooms first.
Interesting.
Is that a male thing?
Maybe. And we see it in lots of different ways. Sometimes they just profile the best rooms first. I will say it sort of depends on your property. Yeah. But I agree with you. Like, start in the front door.
I like to walk through. Yeah. Get a sense of, okay, if I'm going to enter, this is what it's going to look. Same with the videos. Yeah.
And don't underestimate the value of floor plans. It's like the number one thing that people want when they're looking to buy.
Yeah.
They want that floor plan, and it, you know, it's just something that's often missed. And you know, it's an easy thing to do with getting your photos done. Get your photographer to do a floor plan at the same time, and it can be that sort of estimated gives you a sense of where everything sits. And I just think it brings it all to life.
Brilliant. Time has flown by very fast and get through all my questions today. So we're doing well. Well done. So Easter is upon us. Any exciting plans for the weekend?
I'm actually going to be doing the property report this Easter, so we'll be.
Luckily, you love your job.
I love my job. We'll be based in Auckland, but to be honest, just having a bit of a rest, but before we head into winter, I love the long weekends. They're great.
Nice. Favorite childhood memory of Easter?
Well, I think it would be on the farm with doing Easter egg hunts.
Oh, okay.
And there's little yellow chicks that they used to have. I don't know.
Yes.
I don't do them. I don't think they do them the same.
No.
But that would be Easter. It's the start of the cooler season in the Waikato at that time.
Brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant. Love it. Where can people go to find out more information from you, your team, everything?
Absolutely to our site. And I would, if you're wanting to understand, you know, some of the things we've talked about, obviously if you're an agent, talk to our territory managers. But if you come to our site, we have a news section that you can access on the top right-hand corner of the site. And in there is 10 years of data property reports, you know, new features released, all of it on that blog page. So have a really good read through that. And or call us. We're always happy to help.
Brilliant. And feel free to chat to Tahu as well.
And chat to Tahu.
Thanks, Sarah. Have a fabulous Easter and thanks for coming on, checking in with us again.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break next weekend, given it's Easter Monday, but you can still listen to all of our podcasts. They're available on Spotify, Apple, Samsung and iHeartRadio, pretty much wherever you want to get your podcasts. If you've got a guest you'd like us to chat to, or you've got a question you'd like us to get some experts to answer, either as an investor, a landlord or a tenant, email us propertymatters@barfoot.co.nz. Have a fabulous long weekend. We'll catch you in a fortnight. Take care.